just got a few little announcements. So coming up on December 26th, next Saturday, we're actually not going to have quite the same satsang. We're just going to be enjoying the life-sustaining program. So that's still something great to look forward to next Saturday. Then the next highlight is coming up on New Year's Eve. And yes, it's already upon us. New Year's Eve is coming, and so is our wonderful New Year's Eve Yagna. Now, you might have come here and experienced that, but the wonderful thing is it's now going to be available online, so everyone can watch it online, and that begins at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Saving Time on New Year's Eve. And, of course, you can enjoy that on satsanglive.com.au. Then the next remarkable event is the January Golden Jubilee Summer Retreat. And this is in celebration of Swamiji's incredible 50 years of discipleship with Baba Muktananda. And that just promises to be so amazing. It's running from January 9th to the 17th. And again, you can register at satsanglive.com.au to enjoy that, live or on demand.
Very nice. Welcome, everyone. What a wonderful and festive event. So, I want to welcome all the kids here in the, what did I say, the, what do they call it? The space, what do they call it?
Radio Land.
No, it is the space hall.
Socially distanced.
The socially distanced hall. This is the socially distanced hall. And I want to welcome all of you here. We only have one kid here. So why don't you come up? Come on, Sammy. Come on. We haven't seen Sammy for so long. Welcome back, Sammy. Hello. No, no, that's good. I want him to look at the camera. Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Hi,
Sammy.
And I want to welcome all the kids watching out in Radio Land on the peninsula, Vaishnavi and Santoshi and Josh. And Safira and Patrick and Mukti and Harvey and Ocean and Leo and in Melbourne, Liam and Finley and in Byron Bay, Rafi and Amalia and in New South Wales, Elizabeth. Welcome all of you. I like to begin every program, Christmas or not, by remembering my Guru Swami Muktananda, who always began by saying in Hindi, Sabko bade sammane ke saath prem se hardik swagat. With great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And he'd always say that that was the essence of spirituality, to welcome another person. And I think it's true particularly of the Christmas season, the Christmas spirit. So I decided I would draw on some of Baba's teachings, a couple of things he said about Christmas, and then some other things for tonight. First one is part of a report for Christmas 1976. That was, Baba celebrated that in the States. It was either in South Fallsburg or possibly Miami, I'm not sure. But there was a big celebration with Christmas carols, and
And then Baba said, the work of Jesus was very great. Like all the great beings who have come to earth, he showed the path to peace. He made people whose hearts had been dry feel love. He showed the truth within everyone and then left. It has always been that way. All great beings have shown the same truth within, but after they leave, their followers form parties and fight among themselves. It is said that when a great being is born, he relieves the earth's burden. But after he goes, it seems that we increase the burden through hatred and jealousy of our religious parties. This is the real religion, to see others as yourself. Nothing other than that is religion. The birth of a great being is divine. Not only human beings, but even trees and animals become happy at such a birth. Sundaras is the blind poet of India. Sundara says, you can obtain everything. You can attain anything. But it's very difficult to have the company of a saint. And Baba says, such a being destroys duality. Jesus was such a being. Of course, we know that the guru is the grace-bestowing power of God. And grace-bestowing means creates a sense of oneness, not separation, not conflict, but oneness. And in so doing, destroys duality, the us versus them mentality. So this is, and you know, when you when you have the good fortune to have come across a great being, then suddenly you understand so much about all the different traditions. When I met Baba, then I understood what Jesus was about. Before that, I had no idea. And I understood what Moses was about and all the great beings of all the traditions. Here's another one. This is from a question answer with Baba, December 25th, 1971. In other words, my first Christmas with Baba. And we were keen to know what he thought about Jesus and Christianity and so on.
Did you want to look at the photos first?
It's a very good question. I've forgotten one thing. I'm so intoxicated by those Christmas carols. I've been thinking about figgy pudding. And because of that, I've lost my brains a bit. But I just am itching for figgy pudding. So I'm just trying to be calm. Let's see some pictures. Every Christmas, Baba suffered these indignities. He was very happy. Okay, that's one. Here's in Ganesh Puri. Santa came one year. Santa came to Ganesh Puri and gave darshan, and Baba also had darshan. Our old friend Swami Govindananda is in the middle. That's the courtyard in...
Who's playing Santa?
In Ganeshwari. Excuse me? That's Mr. Klaus. St. Nicholas. Yeah.
He's got boxing gloves on. Is that the wrong way, that photo?
You think it's the wrong way?
That's the wrong way.
I can't figure out the orient.
Yeah.
The next one's the same.
Okay, let's see.
That's the right way.
No, because you can see the writing's wrong. It's like mirrored. When I mirrored it,
There's another, a different.
The other one are on the wrong side.
It's a different Christmas, also in Ganesh Puri in the courtyard. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, you get the idea. I was about to say that I was about to issue a trigger alert.
Which is?
Which is that, I'll just say this, Baba had his own views on the resurrection. So if it triggers you, you can practice.
Take it up with God.
Yeah, take it up. Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, I think, was an English woman. She says, could you please explain the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ? And Baba said, there is the physical body which was crucified, but it was the subtle body of Christ which must have been resurrected and ascended to heaven. It could not have been the gross body. The subtle body is the body which is made of consciousness and which cannot be wounded by any weapon, which cannot be buried, which cannot be crucified or in any way mistreated. There are two bodies. One is made of matter and the other is made of pure consciousness. The body of Christ that was grabbed, crucified, and buried could not be his subtle body. It was his physical body. Take the case of Matsyendranath. Matsyendranath, a great yogi, ancient yogi, legendary yogi. Says, though Matsyendranath did not have a divine body, the body of an avatar, his body had been completely transformed through yoga, as a result of which it could not be affected by any instruments of torture. Matsyendranath was given very severe punishment by the queen, yet he remained unmoved. A very heavy grinding wheel was put on his head, yet he was unaffected. This is a story from the scriptures. And that's a reference to there's a tradition in India that an avatar, who's a saint but a special incarnation, and there are by some accounts 9 or 10 avatars, and they have a divine body. And once Baba went to meet a saint who was purported to be an avatar, and what he did was he grabbed him around, and later he said, His body just felt normal. Didn't feel, he expected to feel oily and like an avatar's body. And Baba said, nope. That's all I'll say on that matter. In our tradition, Baba says, we don't find any examples of yogis who rose after death in the physical body. All of them left their physical forms here. Even Yaneshwar Maharaj, who was the greatest yogi and wielded tremendous power, had to leave his physical form here. You're not even able to go to the moon with just your physical body. You have to encase yourself in scientific instruments. If you want to go to further worlds, the physical body will be an even greater hindrance. The world or the realm to which the spirit flies is so subtle that the physical body cannot enter or survive there. Only the subtle body can survive there. I accept that Christ was a very great saint. He was a most extraordinary being. He was perfect, but we must remember that what was written about him was written by ordinary people. It's much better to have faith in the spiritual greatness of Christ than to doubt the authenticity of some events of his life and thus spoil your peace. So I said, don't think about all these stories you hear, but understand that he was a conveyor of shakti, a conveyor of grace. Generally speaking, we should not raise questions which would involve any doubts on the greatness of a great saint. So a saint is a doorway to a higher realm, to a higher consciousness, to a higher energy, and there's no point in doubting it. That's the function of the saint. It's difficult to ascertain the authenticity of the account of the burial of Christ's body and its resurrection. After all, such a great saint has to merge in the formless divine being. He will not retain a separate existence. What purpose could be served by the resurrection of the physical body? In the higher worlds, the physical body cannot survive. It cannot even reach there. Nobody has ever been able to reach these worlds in the physical body. The subtle body cannot be crucified. It cannot be buried. What exactly is the purpose of your question? I've never heard Baba be quite this theological, actually. It is not good to debate these matters. According to the yogic science, the physical body has to be left here, and it's only the subtle body which rises to higher worlds. However, that yogi, who by means of a rare yogic process can make his physical form subtle, can rise in the physical form. Some time ago, we went to the native place of Tukaram Maharaj, and there also people said that Tukaram Maharaj had ascended to heavens in his physical body. So I was with Baba on that trip. We went to Yanishwar's place in Alundi, and then Tukaram's another great saint of Maharashtra, in Dehu, which is a couple of miles from Alundi, which is near Pune. It was a very powerful place, Dehu. And Tukaram was supposedly ascended to heaven bodily. And Baba doesn't like that idea. He says, and they said that he ascended heavenly. And I said that even a dry leaf has to fall down. It doesn't fly upwards. How could a human body ascend to the skies? You should discard all these superstitions. I think the point Baba's making is that the presence of a great being who's connected to the Shakti, to the highest truth, connected to the self, and who has the power to awaken others, to put people in touch with their higher truth, is such an extraordinary miracle, such a rare event, that we should value that, shouldn't have to invent stories around it. That in itself is such an extraordinary miracle and so rare on this planet, and that's his point. Baba says, devotion is good, faith is good, reverence is good, but to jump to an extreme position is utterly unreasonable. Whenever there's a clash between the spiritual and the worldly, now comes, here's another trigger alert, another doctrine. Are you ready? Are you paralyzed so far? You're okay? Okay. Wherever there's a clash between the spiritual and the worldly, quite often you find the people torturing and tormenting great saints, spitting on them, beating them, shooting them, crucifying them. In our country, all the great saints had to bear hardship and torment. There was not a single one who could escape. The world derives great joy, great supreme peace, and even bliss from them, yet it gives them suffering and pain. Take the case of Nityananda Baba. When he was in Mangalore, he was persecuted very much by the people there. They would throw stones, cow dung, and dust at him. And it was on account of that persecution that he came to Ganeshpuri. That part of the story is usually left out, isn't it? Now the same people worship his pictures and wave lights to his statue. The great saint Mansur Mastana, Sufi saint, was hanged, and Shams Tabriz was skinned alive, another great Sufi. It appears to me that this is the way the world has treated all its saints. I alone seem to be an exception in this line. And this is one of the most memorable utterances. Baba's truly got my attention with what he says now. Because I would not permit anybody to treat me that way. I would pick up a stick and hit back. I am dead against the idea of forgiveness and nonviolence taught by Jesus Christ, that if someone hits you on the right cheek, then you should turn your left cheek to him. On the contrary, I believe that if someone hits you on the right cheek, you should hit him back on the right cheek, the left cheek, the head, and every possible part of his body, so that he gets completely cured of his malice and wickedness. So that violence gets out of his system completely. That's why nobody's been able to persecute me as other saints have been persecuted. That's wonderful, isn't it? Jesus was a very great saint, a very great being. The spiritual status of Jesus is equal to that of the great siddhas of this country, such as Guru Nanak, Shankaracharya, Lord Buddha, and others. He was very great. In fact, he touched the greatest heights. He purified the existing tradition. If we were to look at him in terms of the religion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Purana, we would find that he was an ideal being, according to that tradition. The Srimad Bhagavat celebrates this the ideal of love. It's about Krishna and the gopis, the Bhagavatam. It celebrates the ideal of love, and Christ was the living embodiment of devotion, of divine love and prayer. What he preached went against people's sensual way of life, and that is why they turned against him. He told people not to be violent, not to be pleasure-seeking, not to indulge in drinking. He preached truthfulness, renunciation, and sense control. This wasn't liked by his worldly-minded contemporaries. The virtues for which the Indian saints have been distinguished were fully embodied in the person of Christ: renunciation, truth, love, and love of solitude. He was also endowed with the Vedantic vision of equality. Only his immediate followers knew to what extent they have preserved his original teaching and spread it. He was a very great upholder of equality. In India also, during the period of struggle and violence, many saints have been treated like Jesus was. Christ was a great saint who looked upon all equally. He had the most wonderful divine qualities, namely love for the oppressed and forgiveness for the sinful and the downtrodden. What I would say about Christ is that he had achieved the highest summit that any person can achieve. He is worthy of the highest reverence. We don't have to concern ourselves with the authenticity of the last event, his burial and resurrection. I can say for certain he was a very great man, a very great devotee, of a very great jnani, person of knowledge, a great yogi. He was a pure being who had transcended religions, but we don't have to involve ourselves in these controversial matters. So that was Baba's answer, and then he ended his Christmas program that day by saying this. He said, "It's a very great day today because it's a day sacred to a very great saint. Our scripture says that when a great man is born on earth, the earth finds her Lord. By the birth of a great man who is constantly aware of the inner self seated in the heart, who becomes one with the Lord, his family is sanctified, his mother is fulfilled, and the earth is gratified. All the saints are worshippers of purity, worshippers of virtue, not impurity or evil. It's a very great thing that by the grace of Christ, through the agency of Christ, countless souls today remember the Lord. And if he were to be reborn, all of us would meet him with great reverence and great joy." So that's Baba's answer on Jesus. Nice? Yeah. Beautiful. I got to tell you a couple of short ones, and second one will take us into meditation. So it's a great pleasure to have a Christmas program where I think we're remembering the true spirit of what Jesus was about, and the Buddha was about, and Bhagwan Nityananda was about, and what Baba was about, and what all the great saints are. Great saints are not to found a religion, into great division, but to show that which is common within all of us, to find that conscious principle within every person, and to find divine love within the heart. This is from one of Baba's tours. Question: "I have so much fear about my body, but there's nothing really wrong. I'm a singer and performer, and sometimes my fear is so great I cannot get up on stage." Manohar doesn't have that problem. So we know he didn't ask this. Baba says, "To a certain degree, fear is after everyone. Just as there are centers of anger, greed, desire, and ignorance inside the heart, likewise there's a center of fear." He sometimes say there are different petals, 12 different petals in the heart, and it's kind of like a roulette wheel. It would stop on a different petal and you'd have the different emotions, some of them good ones and some of them not so good ones. Baba says, there was a king who said that one who's seeking fulfillment through all kinds of pleasures and enjoyments is subject to the fear of disease. One who wants a long life fears death. One who is from a high family fears losing his status. And one who's a scholar fears competition. One who is wealthy fears a king. The king will take his money. And a king is frightened of his enemies. The body is subject to the fear of old age. If there's a person who keeps silence, he's afraid of being ostracized by others. Everything in this world is subject to fear. There's only one thing free from fear. And we end the program with that. That is meditation on the inner self. That alone can make you fearless. The inner self is totally fearless. Take refuge in that and all fears will go. If you were to seek the support of the inner self, even your music would become better. The sages say that music is a form of yoga, a form of spiritual pursuit. It is followed properly, if it is followed properly in a disciplined manner, it becomes a form of spiritual pursuit. Music is so great that in meditation, yogis hear music inside themselves, reverberating in their inner spaces. Become absorbed in your music, become absorbed in your singing. That fear will go and your music will acquire a finer quality. And finally, before we meditate, this is a question in Ganeshpuri by H.G. Wath. I don't know who that is, probably an Indian devotee. What is the easiest and simplest way to peace of mind? Very good question for remembering Jesus. Baba, the same as we're doing here, the yoga of meditation. This yoga is the easiest, simplest, and greatest of all. Meditation encompasses all the spiritual practices. We read in the Guru Gita every day, a caterpillar changes into a butterfly by continually meditating on the butterfly. Likewise, a seeker becomes God or the Guru by meditating on God or the Guru. Lord Shiva says to Parvati, there is no practice beyond meditation. It is the greatest of all practices. There is no attainment greater than grace. It is the greatest of all attainments. And so to focus on that which, for example, in the last question about fear, there's a place inside, is what the yogis say, that is fearless. But we continually go to the place where fear exists. We follow our minds, our paranoia of our minds, to the place where fear exists. And because of that, we get contracted and miserable. But if we look for the place where fearlessness exists, and it exists within every person, if we make that the goal, that's true meditation. That's the self, the clear space of good feeling, to make that our goal in meditation. To look at the space of peace and the space of contentment within. Baba says, once you've obtained grace, you should continue to meditate and not worry about it. Once you have the awakening, once you've had Shaktipat, once you've had this Kundalini awakening, you should meditate to expand that awakening, to get in touch with that awakening, to grow that awakening. And you should also not allow other factors to come in and inhibit that awakening. The mind can destroy. You could have a heart full of love and a heart full of joy, heart full of shakti, and your mind can come in and destroy that in an instant through tearing thoughts, of negative thoughts, of self-hatred. We have to be very vigilant. We have to learn how to expand that inner feeling. This is true meditation. This is also self-inquiry. Meditation on the inner self, Baba says, releases enormous power. meditation on the self is the easiest path. It not only brings peace of mind, but also delivers one from all sorrow. It bestows perfection. This is a natural technique for rising to divinity from humanity. There's no technique higher than meditation, no attainment greater than meditation, nor is there anything beyond meditation. Therefore, everyone should meditate. That's a surprising message from Baba, isn't it? I don't think so. So let's do that. And the key to meditation is to let everything else go. Now, you certainly have a right to your suffering. I'm not going to argue with that. You certainly have a lot of problems in your life, as we all do. We've got problems in every area of life. They're very profound problems. The whole world is filled with problems, particularly in the year 2020, a year filled with extraordinary problems. But when we meditate, we're going to go in a different direction. Just for these 10 minutes, we turn away from all the problems, and we go towards that place that Baba calls our attention to, that Jesus calls our attention to when he says the kingdom of God is within, when the Buddha calls our attention to the place of peace, the place of joy, the place of contentment, the place of fearlessness within. Think about for a moment, what quality you really want. Do you want fearlessness? Do you want contentment? Do you want love? Do you want wisdom? Do you want joy? All these are within. Whichever one you want is within. So when we meditate, go right to that. Go to that place with full faith. Have tremendous faith. You don't have to have faith in another person, in a religion, in a being. You have to just have faith that these things exist within you as your inner self. And so for 10 minutes, let's begin by focusing on that place within ourselves. And this is in Jesus's behalf, to remember Jesus properly. Let's meditate on that true spirit. And we'll meditate for 10 minutes. And once again, with great respect and love, remembering Jesus, I welcome you all with all my heart. Satguru Nath Maharaj Ki Jai. Let's meditate.
Hi, everyone. If you enjoyed this podcast, why not check out Swamiji's latest book, Ganesh Pridays, Memoirs of a Western Yogi. It's about the time he spent in India with his guru, Baba Muktananda, in the 1970s, and it's a great read. To get a copy, go to ganeshpridays.com. That's ganeshpridays.com. Wherever you are in the world, you can get the book on Kindle or printed in your own country.